Have we been good stewards of that? How's our stewardship been? 2 Corinthians 5:10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to what he's done, whether it be good or bad. But that's the judgment seat for believers. There's another judgment bar of God, and that's going to be 1,000+ years later. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment, when all the unsaved dead of the ages, to that point, in billions and billions, trillions, I don't know how many, will be brought before the author and finisher of life and faith, the creator of this universe. They will be before the judgment bar of Almighty God. John the Apostle in the book of the Revelation describes it this way: I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books, according to their works. And they were judged every man according to their works. So the book of life will be there. Whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life, it says in that same passage, will be cast into the lake of fire. That's hell. That's separation from God forever. So it's a personal question. Just like the jailer said, what must I do to be saved? I don't want to go to that place of torment and suffering where the rich man who died and in hell lift up his eyes being in torment. I don't want to go to that place. Nobody in their right mind would want to go there. But the Bible says someday, one day, the dead in Christ will be raised, and then 1,000 years later, all the dead, the unsaved, those who never put their faith in Christ, will be brought before the great white throne judgment. And they will be judged. Acts 17:30 says, God commands now every man to repent because of that great white throne judgment. Paul said it, now commandeth God all men everywhere to repent. Have you done that today? It says in John 3:3, Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Just being born again, being made a new creature in Christ Jesus, how does that happen, you say? Well, the Bible just says it's believing. We'll get to that in just a moment. It's just believing. In fact, Paul told the jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It's just as simple as that. It really is. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's waited for some of you year after year after year after year, and still you've not repented. You've not turned in faith, believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. You've heard it preached. You've heard it sung. You've heard testimonies about it. You've been given tracts about it. And you've just said, I'm not sure I'm ready for that. I don't know that I can believe that. And the Bible says God is long-suffering. He's waited for you to repent. But the day of His long-suffering will, as it did in the days of Noah, it will come to an end. After 100 years, the ark was built, the rains came, and then it was too late for those who had not believed. I beg of you today to believe and receive the Lord Jesus Christ, because this is the day of salvation. Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord. He will surely give you rest by trusting in His Word. It's a personal question. Nobody can be saved for you. It's just a decision every person makes on his own. And again, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Have you been born again today? You'll know it if you have been. It may be something that's fuzzy in your thinking. You may not understand it. Well, if you accept Christ, you will understand it. As many as received Him, the Bible says, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God. It's a personal question. Secondly, it's a pressing question. The jailer knew that his life was in danger. But he also knew that his soul was in danger too of hellfire and brimstone. So it was pressing. What must I do to be saved? And Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. You don't have to do anything. You can believe right here in this dismal, dark, dank prison that's been destroyed by an earthquake and the doors are now open. You can be saved right here, jailer. And I believe he got on his knees and said, well, God, save me. I believe he believed at that moment. In fact, we know he did. The Bible says he did. It says in verse 32, and they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all of his straightway. Believing in God, it says, believing in God with all of his house. They believed and they were saved. So it is a pressing question. Behold, 2 Corinthians 6:2, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. The answer could not wait another 24 hours. He didn't know he would be here another 24 hours. He still was, his life, his physical well-being was in jeopardy because of the earthquake and the prisoners, not just Paul and Silas, but all the prisoners were loose. So it was a question that couldn't wait another 24 hours. In fact, we sing sometimes, why do you wait, O brother? Why do you tarry so long? Your Savior is waiting to give you a place in his sanctified throne. Why do you wait? I've told the story before, but I'll share it again. On the eve of the great Chicago fire back in the 1800s, when the city was just about burned to the ground, you've heard about it. D.L. Moody, the great preacher, was preaching there in Chicago on the subject of what then think ye of Christ? What do you think of Jesus Christ? Good question. What do you think of him? I've declared him to be the Son of God. The Scriptures declare him to be the Son of God. God the Son, the Savior of the world. But he was preaching to a great crowd of thousands of people. And he said, what do you think of Christ? And he said, what I want you to do is go home and think about that a week and come back and I will ask the question again next week. He dismissed the crowd, the thousands of people, and as they were leaving the great auditorium, the fire was raging in parts of Chicago, and most of those people never made it back the next week. In fact, they had no service the next week. No, it's a question that needs to be asked and answered today. Not next Sunday, not tomorrow, not at some more convenient time, but today. What do you think of Jesus Christ? It's a pressing question. It's a primary question. There's no other question like it. It pales in insignificance. Any other question you can take, what kind of a house should I buy? What kind of a car? What stocks would make a good investment? Who's going to be elected president next term? Will Social Security be solvent when I'm of age to collect? Will Purdue have a winning football team this fall? All of those questions seem so, compared to the question, what will you do with Jesus who's called the Christ? What must I do to be saved? That's the primary question. That's the question of questions. By the way, let's talk about the answer to that question. I've already read the answer, but first of all, just let me say to preface my statement about the answer, he was not told to quit any particular sin. He probably had many in his life, like most. I don't know what they might have been, but he was an unsaved person. He did not know God before this time. Heard about him maybe, but did not know him. Probably knew very little of the Old Testament scriptures that were there available. So Paul didn't say, listen, you have to shape up. You have to clean up your act. You have to dress up. You have to go to the synagogue next Saturday if you want to be saved, and they'll tell you more about it there. That's not what he said. He was not told to sign a doctrinal statement. Paul didn't say, if you will agree to this, 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 and this, then you will. He didn't even say, jailer, you've got to put your hand on this Old Testament Torah, the the first five books about, you gotta put your hand on it and swear that you will honor God, obey God, keep His commandments. He didn't say that. He didn't give him any doctrinal statement signed. He was not told, by the way, you'd have to join a certain synagogue or church. He was not given a list of things to do as penance. If he would do this, 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 and this, repay some debts that were outstanding, make some amends with people that he had offended. Didn't, none of that stuff. No penance. He didn't have to buy a favor from the church or the synagogue leader, the rabbi. He didn't have to get baptized. Paul did not say, if you will get baptized. By the way, he did get baptized after he got saved, but that was not going to save him. Paul didn't say, if you will now get baptized, you will be okay. Because baptism didn't save anybody. Never did, never will. Paul certainly, under this critical crisis situation, Paul certainly would have said, you need to be baptized now. Or he didn't even say, if you believe and will be baptized, you'll be saved. He didn't say that. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Period. It's great to know that he did get baptized, because Jesus said, I want you to preach the gospel in all nations, teach everybody what the word is, what the gospel is. Baptizing them then after they're saved, after they become disciples, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But there's the order. You gotta make disciples of them. That's get them saved, teach them. Make sure they believe on the Lord Jesus. And then get them baptized and then teach them all things. That's what the church is about doing today. But he didn't say get baptized. He didn't say anything about those things. He was not told, the jailer was not, Paul didn't say, if you think you can live it. You know, some people say, I don't think I can live it. Nobody can. That is the Christian life. If you wait till you think you can live it, you'll never be saved. I can't live it today, and I've been saved many years. But I can't live the Christian life. Paul said he couldn't. The life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ was living in Paul. He lives in you. If you're saved and living a Christian life, you're not living it. He's living it through you, in you. So he wasn't told if you can live it. Here's what he was told. Told one thing. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Nothing less. Nothing less. Not believe that he was a good teacher. Not believe that he showed us how to live. That he was a great example. That he showed us how to die with courage and grace. Not believe anything, but believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, that he's the Savior of the world. He died on the cross to bear in his body the penalty and payment for your sins. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He didn't say you might be. He didn't say you could be. He said you will be saved just by believing. So simple. It's so simple that we're going to baptize some children after a while that they could believe and receive, and they did. But it's so profound that old men and old women still thrill at reading the Bible and turning over gems that they had never seen before and getting to know more about God. It's such a blessed book. And walking with God is so wonderful that it never gets dull. It's exciting. It's thrilling. The closer we get to heaven, the more precious it becomes to us. I just want to recommend Jesus to you. Dallas Billington was a great pastor in Akron, Ohio, Akron Baptist Temple. Some of you may have heard of him. He had a great congregation of thousands of people. I think maybe 12,000 people at one time, a church membership, maybe more. But he made the statement once that struck me as I read it. He said, most of the thousands of people who come to this church came by way of a casket. They came by way of a casket. What does he mean by that? He means that God had to get a hold of most of the people that come here in a dramatic, traumatic way. He intervened into their lives, got them to stop, look and listen, got them to think in their heart, am I ready to meet God? Here's the casket. Here's a loved one snatched from my presence. May have been casually, it may have been old age, but here's a loved one gone. Now, what about my soul? Where am I going to be when I'm in that casket? And Dallas Billington said, most of the thousands of people here today came by way of a casket. By the way, that's true with me. My 11-year-old brother was taken from our family when he was drowning through a drowning accident. It was no accident. It was probably considered that by many, but my mom and dad knew it was no accident. They had not been seeking God. They had heard about it. In fact, they had even made a profession of faith and may have been saved, but they were not seeking to know Him and to live for Him and to find a good Bible preaching church. And by way of a casket of an 11-year-old boy, this is their testimony. God got their attention as no other way would have. And they began to find and found a Bible preaching church where I got saved and our family got saved and grew in the Lord. Don't wait till God has to bring a casket your way. And I'm not trying to scare you into salvation. It's just probably the truth. Many people could say, like I just said, my mom and dad, by way of a casket, God got their attention. Would you be saved today? Father, speak to our hearts. Draw people to yourself in this hour of invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to take our hymnals and sing a stanza of a closing hymn of invitation. 294, just as I am without one plea. If you're today not saved, if you could not answer the question, I know what to do to be saved. I have already done it. I've believed. I've received Jesus as my Savior. It's not hard. You don't have to come forward, but if you want somebody to take you to a quiet room and pray with you, show you another verse or two, we would love to do that. You can be saved where you're at. If you are and have been and will, just come forward and let me know that I've accepted Christ in my seat right there. We had a man do it at Tripp's funeral a couple weeks ago over here. He said, I accept Jesus as my Savior. In fact, he stood. All heads were bowed and eyes closed, but he stood up to his feet as I asked people, if you will accept Jesus, would you stand? Don't be ashamed of him. He died on the cross, rugged cross for you, and he was stripped naked and he bled for you. Don't be ashamed to stand for Jesus. Don't be ashamed to come and say, I want to accept him as my Savior. 294, let's stand with me and sing the first stanza. Come as we sing. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. There are some that are going to baptismal rooms to prepare to be baptized. If you are going to be baptized, just make your way, girls, ladies over this way, men over here, boys, men over this to my left, your right, and there'll be somebody there waiting to help you. Let's sing the second stanza. It's still time for you to come as we sing it. Come on, please. Just as I am and waiting to rid my soul of one